Well, if you have your Bibles, you can open to Romans chapter 10. I'm excited about these next 2 weeks. Amen. Hallelujah, it's going to be good. I'll just say this, that during the 7 week series that we just did on the parable of the sower, it was in the middle of that at some point that it got on my heart to preach these two services. Well, I should say the one going the directions. And last night, on my way to Allegheny, dropped in my heart for next week, and I'm thrilled about it. So, hallelujah. Father, help us today. Lord, give me the utterance, the words to speak, Father, that my words would not be my own, but that of the Holy Ghost. Father, we need help from heaven. Lord, speak through me. I ask you for boldness. I ask you for utterance. I thank you that that's your plan, that's your will, that's what you desire to give. And so, Father, we thank you for those things. We thank you for bullseyes being hit in people's hearts here today. And Father, we're going forward into more. There's better for us. We don't stay stagnant. We don't go backwards. We don't go neutral. We go forward with you, Father, into more. So, Father, we thank you. Today represents an opportunity for more. And, Lord, we'll give you the praise. We'll give you the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Romans chapter 10 and verse 8 is where we're going to go. And, you know, God has victory for us. He does. In every area of your life, Jesus, you know, it was a complete work on the cross is what I'm trying to say. Jesus' work on the cross, the death, burial, and the resurrection of in the defeat of the kingdom of darkness, was meant to change every area of your life and make it blessed and better. And it's interesting, though, you see that some Christians, maybe you can see this in your own life, I've been in both categories, are thriving. Some Christians are not thriving so much, yet we're all in the same family. Yet we all have the same resource, yet we all have the same opportunities. And it really comes down to, because God's not a favorite God, you know, Caleb doesn't go to school adequately supplied and we make Abby go in rags, you know. Caleb doesn't go with a full lunchbox and Abby has to starve. No, good parents don't play those games. And God's a good parent. He gives all of his children the opportunity to be blessed. But really what it comes down to is cooperation with him. And what do I mean by that? Doing what he says, amen? And our victory that he has for us needs to be walked out. And we're going to talk about one of the greatest works that a Christian needs to have as a staple in their life. You know, see, I thought we were saved by grace and not by works. You were, but once you get saved, works are everything. What do you mean? Faith without works is dead. There's things we have to work. We have to work the word. Now, again, when we work the word, we still can't bring those things to pass. It's still God's mercy and grace, but we have to work that to get God's power on the scene. And this is one of the main things, and the Holy Ghost really stressed this to me during that series, that this is an area that the church is lacking in, not just us, but the body of Christ. And so we're going to get help in these next 2 weeks. And lives, things will change for people. And, you know, when you want to see, especially with God, you can look at a principle that when you want to know what God's take is on something or, you know, how to do something, you can go back to the original idea. What was God doing in the very beginning? You know, what I mean by that is, for example, if you're confused about healing, is God a God of healing? Is God a God of sickness? Is God okay with sickness? Just go back to the original. In the Garden of Eden, there was no such thing as sickness. There was no such thing as disease. It was never a part of God's idea. It was never a part of God's plan. You wonder, well, does God care about me being adequately supplied? Just go back to the beginning. He dropped Adam and Eve in a garden that they couldn't even eat all. I mean, they had everything they needed. It was beautiful. It was lush. It was wonderful. It was heaven on earth is what it was. Does God want me worried? Does God want me fearful? Go back to the garden and just look, and you can see some of those things. And so you can learn a lot, you know, by looking at God's original intention. But the same way, I want to show you, you know, when we started off as a Christian at a certain spot, and we all started as a Christian at the day of salvation for each and every one of us. And you can learn something from how you got saved, of how the principle of going forward, because salvation, all salvation is, and I don't mean this to demean it, but salvation is a promise from God. The same way healing is a promise of God, the same way prosperity is a promise of God, peace and favor and all those things, protection, they're promises of God that are put here, told what we can have. This is a book of what we can have. It's a book of promises. Amen. If we cooperate, we can get the promises. And salvation's a promise, albeit it's the greatest promise. Amen. I'll take salvation over healing if I had to choose. I'd take salvation over prosperity. You know, I'll be broke the rest of my life. It means I get to go to heaven. But thank God we don't have that have to have that choice. But my point is, the way you receive the very first gift to even get you into the family of God, because you can't start receiving from Him until you're a child of God, until you've received salvation, because salvation is what enables you to get into the family and to be one of God's children. You know, He's not obligated to the whole world. He loves the whole world, but He's not obligated to the whole world. I love all people, but I'm not obligated to all kids. You know, I don't go through Walmart and stress out about how I'm going to feed this kid and how I'm going to clothe this kid. No. I'm concerned with my children. They're, you know, I love everybody. I want everybody to be blessed the same way God does, but I'm not obligated to every child, just like you're not obligated to every child. God's not obligated to every child, every person. He's obligated to all His children, praise God, but not everybody in the world is His children. The Bible says in John chapter 1 and verse 12, it's the people that received Jesus. The people that received Jesus, He gave the right to be called the children of God. Wrong thinking in the religion will tell you, and the world will tell you, God, everybody's God's child. That's not true. In fact, I'll tell you what the truth of the Bible is. If you're not one of God's children, you're one of the devil's. I don't care how moral, how kind, and how good you are. Spiritually speaking, if you're not a child of God, you're a child of Satan. There's only two kingdoms and two realms. Yeah, there's the kingdom of God and the kingdom of darkness in the spiritual realm. You're of one of those two places. And the only way you get translated into the right one is by receiving Jesus, becoming a child of God. But in that promise of that very first way that we started to learn how to receive from God, because you had to receive your salvation a specific way. It didn't automatically fall into your lap. You had to go and cooperate with the formula that God put in there to receive your salvation. And it's found in Romans chapter 10 and verse 8 through 10. He says, "But what saith it? The word is near you, even in your mouth and in your heart, that is the word of faith which we preach, that if you shall confess with your mouth," no, he says, if. So he says, if you don't do this, this won't happen for you. Right. "That if you'll confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and shall believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved." Notice there's two, to receive that promise, there's two stipulations. You must believe and you must speak it. You see that there? He says, if. So if you don't speak it, and if you don't believe it, you don't get to be saved. That's the formula, amen? Amen. To walk into salvation, you must believe it first and then speak it. And he says in verse 10, "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." Now look at that. What sealed the deal on your salvation? It wasn't even the believing. The believing started it. But the Bible says with the mouth, confession was made unto that promise. Or that manifestation. You could say it that way. You could put that in there. That the manifestation of salvation came through the confession of your mouth. And so what we're going to talk about the next 2 weeks, and this is what the Holy Ghost is telling me that the church is lacking in. Because if this isn't a part of your life, just the same way you'd never receive salvation without confession, you'll never receive your healing without a confession. You'll never receive your prosperity without a confession. You'll never see changes that you need to see from supernaturally from God without confession. And we're dropping the ball on this. Now, yeah, there's believing and speaking. And I'll just mention this because I'm not honing in on this. And it's interesting that in Mark 11, 23, which we'll look at, which is the main verse we look at about saying, believing is only mentioned one time. Saying is mentioned three times. And Brother Hagin said this way, you're going to have to do three times the saying, the believing, because people aren't missing it in the believing part. People are missing it in the talking part. And so the Bible says here, with the heart, man believes. So the first thing you got to do is believe before you speak. Because we can't say empty words. Because a lot of people have, you know, become disillusioned and angry with confession. Well, I've been confessing, it didn't work. Yeah, but were you speaking from the heart? Because the Bible says from the heart, man believes. Or were you speaking from your mind? And you know, when your mind, it's not really faith. What's faith? Belief. Well, then people will say, well, how then do I know that I mean, like when I'm speaking for my healing, how do I know it's not my head and not my heart? How do I know the difference? Well, I'll ask you this, or show you this. When I tell my son, I love you, I don't walk away wondering, did I mean that? I'm not confused. When I say, God will supply all my needs. I don't walk away from that saying, did I really believe that? No, I know I believe it. You know when you believe something. And Brother Hagin would say this, a lot of people just start confessing, and what he would say is before he'd even start confessing, because the confession is made to the promise. You could say it this way, the confession brings the possession. Without the confession, you never got saved. Without a confession, you'll never get your healing. Without a confession, you'll never get the money you need and the change you need in your family and the job and the vehicle, the stuff you need that God has for you. The confession brings the possession. And a lot of people just get that, and they'll start confessing from head knowledge in a mental arena, thinking, if I just say it enough, it'll come. Not if they're not faith words. So Brother Hagin would say before he'd even start confessing, he'd find out, you know, what does the Bible say? What has God said about that? Get that in his heart so where he has belief. So now when he opens his mouth and speaks, those words are fueled or motivated by faith and not just a going through the motions and thinking it's going to work. Because a lot of people, I've had people sit across from me. Why, this confession business doesn't work. I've been confessing, but I know by the Spirit of God, they don't really believe that. Because the people that really believe it aren't the ones sitting across from me complaining that's not working. It's true. The confession brings it. So before you even confess, now we're going to talk about confession, but just remember, before you start confessing and going after it that way, you got to get that in your heart. How do you get in your heart? Romans 10:17, faith cometh by hearing. You hear and hear the word on that. If it's you need healing, you can't get it without a confession, but they got to be faith words, and maybe you're not where you need to be for healing. Well, then get in the word on healing. Get your faith built up. The Bible doesn't say it might happen. The Bible says if you'll meditate in the word, faith will come. Amen. You'll say, well, how do I know? I know, I believe, I love him. Yeah. Amen. I wondered when I say that. And so we're going to talk about confession, because if you think this morning that you can receive all that he has for you apart from saying things, you're outside the boundaries of the Bible. You know, Mark 11:23, let's go there. That's really our golden scripture. But think about this. Salvation, how did it come? Through confession. What is that? That's the outline. That's the template. The greatest promise ever, you couldn't get it without speaking. Why do you think you can get healing without it? Why would you think you can get prosperity? Why do you think you can get the change you need without saying something? You can't. You can't. Well, that's what we're going to talk about the next 2 weeks and get you back to going after some things. But Mark 11:23, of course, I know most of you can quote it, but it says, verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto the mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe, there's belief, that those things which he saith will come to pass, he'll have whatever he says. Notice the Bible says the requirement to having is saying. The requirement to having is saying. Take away the saying, take away the having. Don't say, don't have. Or you could say it this way, say wrong, have wrong. Say right, have right. Jesus said you'll have what you say. It's important because we get religious mindsets because we start to bring our accolades to God, and I'm not saying that's a wrong thing. The Bible says put me in remembrance, but we'll think things like, I deserve my healing. I'm faithful in church. I tithe. I walk in love. I don't watch wrong things. I try to be an upstanding moral person, and I should receive what I have, the healing. It's like, listen, you don't receive what you deserve. You don't even receive what you need. You don't receive what you hope for. You don't receive what you wish for. You won't receive what you daydream for. You won't receive what you gripe for. You'll receive what you say. That's what Jesus said. You'll have what you say. You can wish for it. You can hope for it. You can long for it. And you can desire for it. But until you open your mouth, it won't become a reality. I was watching a YouTube video not too long ago. And there's this guy I like to watch on YouTube. He's a fitness guy, and he breaks things down so easy with what to eat, with different nutrients and stuff. And he's just, I don't know, it just speaks to me, you know. And it's easy to watch him and his workouts and stuff. It's like, okay, this makes sense. It's not over my head. But the title of this video was Three Reasons Why You Can't See Your Abs. I thought, yes! Finally, I'm going to know because I'm looking for them. Where'd you go? Because it's not that you don't have abs. You all have abs. But very few of us can see them. They like to play hide and go seek. And I thought, where are they? I know I have them, but where are they? So I thought, I'm going to find out now. Three reasons why. He's going to tell me, and he's got abs. He knows. Well, I don't even know what point number two and point number three were because I couldn't get past point number one in my head. He said the number one reason people don't see their abs is because their diet's wrong. I said, oh, I'm in trouble. I'm in trouble. I'm already thinking because he's telling me, you know, you can't this, that kind of food and stuff is building up that layer that's causing that those abs to hide behind, you know. I thought, oh, man, I'm in trouble. And but here's the thing. I can wish for abs all day long. I can want them. I can hope for them. I can daydream about them. I can cry and complain about. But until I change the diet, well, it's the same thing. You can hope for your healing all you want. You can wish for your prosperity and the change. But until you open your mouth, why are you expecting change? You know, if I keep eating the sugar and eating the massive amounts of carbohydrates and not doing the diet of lean proteins or whatever, you know, they're saying to do, what that's saying is I really don't want abs that bad. And when you don't open your mouth and do exactly what Jesus said to get your receiving, I would have to say to you, you really don't want your healing that bad. If you're not saying it, you really don't want your manifestation that bad. If nothing's coming out of your mouth, because Jesus said that's the only way it's going to come. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm still discussing with my brain whether or not I really want to see him that bad. So if you see me with something in my mouth, say he doesn't want that bad, I'm not sure I do yet. So hold your judgment to yourself. I'm still trying to figure that out. How bad do I want to see those things? But go to James chapter 3 and verse 2. James chapter 3 and verse 2. Got to say it to have it. Say it to have it. Glory to God. James chapter 3. This is so alarming to me. In verse 2. He says, for in many things we offend all. Now that word offend in the Greek is the word stumble or to trip. He says there's many things that cause us to stumble and trip. And trip up as Christians. He says, if any man doesn't stumble in their wording, if he gets it right in their mouth, the same as a perfect man and able also to bridle or control the whole body. So look at what he's saying. He's saying there's so much blessings if you can talk right. And now he's going to tell us in these next two examples that actually the way you talk will control your whole life. Can control your whole life because he says, behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us. We turn their whole body. Well, what does that bit in the horse's mouth do? It causes a small thing to be put in a large animal's mouth, but can control. You want the horse to go left? The bit will help that, right? Without it, you could be in trouble. Ask Julie. Raise your hand, Julie, so everybody knows who we're talking about. No, higher. Julie got dumped in the horse trough. Because she decided to hop on a horse without a bit, and it took off running towards a fence, stopped right before a fence, threw you right in, didn't it? What a nice pastor I am. I mean, wow. What did she wish? The bit. Well, what was the bit? The bit would have controlled that horse. That was headed for a wrong way and headed for danger. That bit would have controlled that horse. And that's what he's saying, that the bit can control and direct and turn. But then he says, behold the ships, which are so great and driven of fierce winds, yet they are turned, the ships are turned, with a small helm wherever the governor or the captain wants to go. So he's saying, a ship, if it's headed for a wrong place, the governor doesn't, just has to do this. Just turn the helm a little bit and it'll control it. Well, why is so what he's talking about are small things that can control and direct large things. Well, why is he giving us these examples? Because now he's going to tell us, even so the tongue is a little member of what? The body. The tongue compared to the leg is small. The tongue compared to the head is small. The tongue compared to the arm is small. The tongue compared to the stomach is small. But just like the bit is small and can control that large animal, and just like the helm is small and can control that large ship, the Bible says the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. Behold how great a matter of fire, a little fire kindleth. What he's saying is It only takes a small spark to get a forest fire. You see those forest fires and thousands of acres burning. It didn't start that way. One match, one little spark can get that thing to take off. He's saying the tongue's the same way. He says the tongue in verse 6 is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, so that it defiles the whole body. Now look at this. And sets on fire the course of nature and is set on fire of hell. I want to focus on that last verse there, or part of that verse where it says, sets on fire the course of nature. That might seem blind in the King James. Let me read it to you in a more modern translation. The tongue is also a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body. Now listen to this. It sets the whole course of one's life on fire. And itself is set on fire by hell. What's he saying? Whichever direction your life's going to go, which in the beginning of the verse, he said it can control it in a good way. And then he used the helm and the bit example. And now he's saying the whole course of one's life can go to hell. I'm talking about hell on earth. By what? Their words. That's what he's saying. Your words can drive and direct your whole life. Wow. Now, I'm sorry to say this, you might not like this, but where you are today is a result of the direction you set the course with. What? Your tongue. And where you end up tomorrow and next year is going to be determined on what you do with your mouth. Amen, it's true. The whole course of one's life is determined by their words. Well, you'd say it this way, that's pretty powerful. Amen, that's pretty powerful. Is that true? Well, let's look. Go to Proverbs 18, 21. Proverbs 18, 21. The bit can control and turn. The helm can control and turn. Your tongue can control and turn. Proverbs 18, 21 says, death and life. Wow. Death and life are in the power of God and His plan. No. You know where death and life rest? In the power of the tongue. And they that love it will eat the fruit thereof. What's he saying? Your mouth has the ability to produce death and life in the nature of your whole life, in your existence. Your mouth will control death and life in your finances, in your family, in your body, in your job, in your workplace, in how your life turns out. Death and life are in that power. Wow. Well, if that's true, my goodness, should we be careful and not careless with our words? Something with that great a power, we cannot be careless with it. You know, I think about something that has great power. It's electricity. And electricity can do what? Produce death, and electricity can produce life, right? I mean, there's machines that people are hooked up to run by electricity. It keeps life going, electricity, heat, and things like that. But you mishandle electricity, and you'll pay a price. It might be with your life. I remember, you know, my guy I have work in my house, his name's Jonas Burkholder. It's my Amish friend. His brother's the one that runs the archery shop. But been such a great blessing. And Jonas, there's times like if I do have a little time off, I ask him, can I just watch you work? Because he doesn't want me to help him. Trust me, he doesn't want help. So it's not out of lazy. I just want to watch him work because, you know, people that are so skilled in something, I'm amazed that when people are good at something that I'm not good at. Just to watch them and to watch him with tools and the way he does things and puts things together and how quick he is. And so good. I just enjoy watching him. And so he's very knowledgeable. And sometimes he forgets that he's working for an ignoramus. And Jonas was working on our lights, and of course, I'm pro lights. I like lights, and so we have lights in our house. And Jonas was working on a light fixture and putting a different socket or different switch in and things. And I don't know the reason why this happened or how this happened, but the thing was sticking out of the wall, and I just went up to it and grabbed a hold of it. And I, what, paid the price for that. Oh, I felt something I never felt before. And Jonas is over there bent over laughing. I said, why didn't you tell me? He said, I didn't think that you were that dumb I said, I don't know. He's like, what's the point of grabbing onto it? There's not even a light fixture up there. It's not going to do anything. Why'd you do that? Well, what was I? I was careless with electricity, right? Just ignorant to this. And a lot of people, that's the problem. They're just ignorant with their words. My back's killing me. Ooh, you sure you want to say that? My children are so dumb. Oh, you sure that's what you want to say over them? I'll never afford that. You're darn right you won't. I could never have a new car. Yep, you're probably right because you'll have what you say. I'll never have the house of my dreams. My husband's this. My wife's this. Complaining about the situation. That's not doing anything for you. It's not doing anything for you. Hallelujah. Death and life. Power of the tongue. Death and life. So many people are careless with their words. Messing with power that can produce death and life in their life. And just going about saying anything. Or just not saying anything and not producing anything. It's just like electricity. You can go in a dark room and stay dark if you want to, if you don't use it. Same with words. You don't have to use them, not go anywhere. But they'll take you someplace good. Matthew 12:37. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 37. I know we're hitting bullseyes today. I know some of you are bleeding for money. You don't say anything about money in forever. But you think you're going to get it. You're fooling yourself. I know some of you think healing's going to come because Pastor Mike preached on it and God's a good God. But you're not saying it every day. You're not confessing it. But you're expecting it. Hallelujah. See, sometimes people get, I'll just say this because this just came up in my spirit as a word of knowledge, so it's going to apply to somebody. Sometimes people get healed off of a word of knowledge and a gift of the spirit of gifts of healings, working of miracles, and they get healed, and it didn't have anything to do with their faith, and so they got it that way one time, and now they face something again. They think it's just going to fall into their lap. That happens when you're a baby Christian. You don't see a lot of the gifts of the Spirit with working of miracles and gifts of healings instantaneous operating in Christians who should know better by faith. In fact, they weren't even for Christians. They were for the outside the church, but God has mercy on the babies. And you see it, and I'll see it work a lot more where someone that I know didn't have a lick of faith to believe for that, but had hands laid on them, the power of God hit them, healed them. But now the problem with that is they go forward and think that's how it's going to happen. That's not how it's going to happen. And if you're sitting there thinking your healing's coming and you're not saying anything, you're wrong. You're wrong. I need money. We better start saying something about it. Matthew 12:37. For by your words, Jesus said, your words, you're justified, and by your words you're condemned. Now, I know in context, this is talking about a judgment day, but death and life and what we've seen so far, it's true. Your words can trap you. Your words can free you. By your words, you're justified. By your words, you're condemned. Go to Proverbs 12 and verse 6. Can you go grab my phone, please, Jeff? I know I have the AC turned on, but I'm wondering where it's at. Proverbs 12 and verse 6. Look at this. The words of the wicked are lie in wait for blood, but the mouth of the upright shall deliver him. So when you need deliverance, it's because you're in bondage, you're in chains. Look at how you get out. The crying and pleading to God will deliver him. No, it won't. The words, the mouth of the upright will deliver them. Thank you, sir. Hallelujah. The mouth of the upright shall deliver him. Let me just turn it. There we go. The mouth of the upright shall deliver him. Well, I need to be delivered from my sickness, from this poverty. I'm sick of always being broke. I'm sick of the way it's going in my family. I'm sick of the way it's going in my kids. I'm sick of the way it's going in my body. Well, what are you doing about it? Your mouth will get you out of that thing, or your mouth will keep you right there. Go with me to Numbers 13 and verse 1. Numbers 13 and verse 1. Hallelujah. He's faithful. Numbers 13 and verse 1. See, remember, the promise of salvation, you found it in the Word, or someone told you what the Word said. But just because it was in there and available to you, you didn't get it until you did what? Open your mouth. Every promise that's in here is available to you, meeting your needs, supplying for you, providing for you, healing, all the good stuff. But the way you get them is by getting them in your heart and then speaking them. Well, that's the way it is with every promise. Your words will get you in, or your words will keep you out. And in Numbers 13:1, the Bible says, the Lord spoke to Moses saying, send men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. What was the land of Canaan? It was the promised land. So what's verse 2? Verse 2 is a promise from God. It's like Philippians 4:19. It's a promise from God. It's like 1 Peter 2:24 about being healed. It's a promise from God. Amen. There's promises of God. Well, how do you get them off the page into your life? You get them into your heart and into your mouth. Well, we also know this. If you say the wrong thing, well, I'll never be healed. I'm sick. It's just killing me. You're voiding out everything. Well, I'm always broke. Economy's so bad. I'm struggling so much. Yada, yada, blah, 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 this and that. Well, you're hurting your life. So there's the promise of God. Now, they told them, pick 12 guys, send them out and check out the land. So they did. Verse 25, we'll pick it up in verse 25. They returned from searching of the land after 40 days, and they went and came into Moses and to Aaron and all the congregation of the children of until the children of Israel into the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh. They brought back word. Notice that. They brought back word unto them and said unto the congregation, showed them the fruit of the land. And they told them and said, we came into the land where you sent us, and it flowed with milk and honey. This is the fruit of it. It was a wonderful land. Of course it was. It was from God. But then look at what they did in verse 28. They do the exact same thing we do. God says, healing's yours. But you know what then you say? Yeah, but the doctor said. Yeah, but the medicine. Yeah, but my symptoms. God says all your needs can be met. But then you'll say, yeah, but my paycheck. Yeah, but my I'm on a fixed income. The only thing that's fixing your income is your tongue. Yeah, but this over my children. Yeah, but this over my relationships. Yeah, this over my job. And we say these things. God offers you promises to go higher and to get out of some of those things and into better. But then we say, yeah, but this. And that's exactly what they did. He said, yeah, God said that, but nevertheless, the people are strong that dwell in the land. And the cities are walled and very great. And they're complaining about all this stuff. Drop down to verse 30. It's important to notice this. Now remember, that's what they're saying. What? Can't have it. Too hard. Never going to get in. But Caleb stills the people, verse 30, and says before Moses, let us go up at once and possess it, for we're well able to overcome. That sounds like different talk to me. Remember that. The children of Israel, the 10 spies, and all the congregation are hopping on. Cities are walled, all this, yada, yada, blah, blah, blah. And I'm amazed that they forgot that not a long, short time ago, God brought them through the Red Sea supernaturally. Why are they worried about walls when God blew air out of his nose and split the Red Sea? That's what it says. And remember, they were celebrating that. They were on the other side of the Red Sea singing and dancing songs by the breath of thy nostrils. So God can't take care of a wall? God can't take care of people that are bigger than? But we do it all the time. As if God's moved by your incurable condition. He's shaken in his heavenly boots. As if God's moved by the amount of debt that you have. Oh, that's a number I can't take care of. Nothing's too hard for him. Hallelujah. And they brought up an evil report. They kept complaining. Verse chapter 14 and verse 1. And all the congregation lifted up their voice that night, right? And what they do, the Bible says, they lifted up their voice and cried. The people wept. The children of Israel complained. Complaining about your problem is pointless. That's not changing it. It's wasting time. Don't complain about your problem. Speak life into the problem. And so they're speaking. Now drop down to verse 6. They're complaining. So we had Caleb speaking the right thing. Children of Israel speaking the wrong thing. Verse 6. And Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, which were of them that searched the land, tore their clothes. And now they both spoke up and said, verse 7. The land which we passed through to search, it's good land. If the Lord delight in us, he'll bring us into this land, regardless of the walls, which flows with milk and honey. Only rebel ye not against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is parted from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. But all the congregation wanted to stone them, the next verse says. So here we got 2 million people plus the 10 spies. That's how many people were estimating the children of Israel that were jumping on board what the 10 said, and we have 2 out of 2 million. And that seems to be about the way it is when it comes to faith. About 2 out of 2 million people actually believe God and talk right in the midst of hell on earth. Oh, we'll all sing shouts and praises like they did when they're on the other side and their bills are paid. When the doctor hasn't reared up, oh yeah, God is good. God is great. I love all the people that when something good happens, they tell me how good God is. As if he wasn't good when you were going through hell. It's the truth. 2 out of 2 million people actually believed God. And guess who are the only ones that got in? 2 out of 2 million. Actually, it was more because God didn't hold the children accountable. But I'll show you that here now. Go drop down to verse 26 now. And the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron saying, how long will I bear with this evil congregation which murmurs against me? See, God considered complaining as murmuring against him. In doubting something personal, he took it. He says, I have heard the complainings of the children of Israel which they murmur against me. Say unto them, as truly as I live, says the Lord. Now remember, what we learned so far today, you'll have what you say. Say good, have good. Say bad, have bad. Say nothing, have nothing. The Lord says, say unto them, as you have spoken in my ears, what's he saying? I'm going to do what you say. What you bind, he'll bind. What you loose, he'll loose. He said, I'm going to do exactly what you said I'm going to do. He said, your carcasses, remember what were they saying? We're going to die out here. So what's God saying in verse 29? Yep, you're going to die out here. Your carcasses will fall in the wilderness, and all that were numbered of you according to your whole number from 20 years old and upward. So anyone under 20 years old, they got in. God had mercy. Which have complained against me. Now look at this, verse 30. Doubtless you won't come into the land, not God's fault, concerning which I swore to make you dwell therein, except Caleb and Joshua. Well, what was the only difference the Bible pointed out to us in these scriptures that was different between Caleb and Joshua and those people? The only thing that I found that was different was what was coming out of their mouth. Yeah. Yep, Caleb and Joshua spoke it and got to go in. The children of Israel were speaking wrong and they were kept out. Wow. It's the same exact thing with you and I. God has filled this book with promises. You know, when God... And there's promises that God will tell you that aren't in the Word. Like, for example, when God spoke to me and said, that's your house. Well, when God says, that's my house, that's my cue to what? Meditate on what he said, get that in my heart, and start saying, this is my house. This is my house. Well, I could have very well said, I can't afford this house, bought that Ishmael house that we looked at for lesser, got into a lesser house, and the whole time God would have said, this would have been yours. Well, I walked it out and proved it. It was mine. And it's been mine, glory to God. Hallelujah. And it's the same way with any promise. God says you can have it. God says you can have it. Got to get it in your heart and get it in your mouth. Start saying it. Start saying it. Start saying it. Start saying it. I want to show you something. And we'll close with this. That's going to make it in a whole new light for you with confession. Go to Hebrews 3 and verse 1. Now remember, in the Old Testament, there's a thing called the high priest. The high priest would represent the people and would go into the tabernacle, into the center where the Holy of Holies were, where the Ark of the Covenant was, which represented the presence or the Spirit of God. And there was only one person that could go in, and that was the high priest. And he would go in there for the people into the presence of God on behalf of the people. Now look at this. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 1 says, wherefore, holy brethren, that's us Christians, partakers of the heavenly calling, look at this, consider the apostle and high priest, talking about Jesus. Jesus is now our apostle and high priest. We don't have to have a priest that goes into the Holy of Holies for us. Notice what Jesus is the apostle and high priest of. Our profession. That doesn't mean your work. You look that up in the Greek, the word profession means confession. Jesus has the duty or the responsibility of watching over our confession, bringing it to the Father, and making sure that what we're saying comes to pass. But if we stop or not saying or saying the wrong thing, he has nothing to bring into the Holy of Holies with the Father. He is the high priest of what we say. He's the one there that when we speak the word and say what the word says, he's making sure to watch over that, to bring it to the one that can perform it and make sure it's done. But when you don't give him anything to work with. Now go with me over to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 19. So now we know Jesus is the high priest of what we say, our confession. Hebrews 10, 23. Or no, let's go to 19. Let's start in verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the Holy of Holies by blood of Jesus. Now we can enter into the presence of the Father. We don't need a high priest on earth to do that for us. By a new and living way, which he has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, who's our high priest, Jesus, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Now here it is, because remember, we have a high priest. What's the high priest do? He goes into the Father. Let us hold fast. What's he saying? Hold on tight to that thing. To the profession. We know that means confession. Let us hold fast to the confession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promise. See, if you let go of the confession, Jesus has nothing to go into the Father with, to present and say, this needs to be done on their account. That's what the high priest would do. He'd go in for the people and say, on the account of the people, this needs to happen. And so he's saying to you, you have to hold on to it. If you let go of it, Jesus has nothing to bring to the Father to change for you. And notice he says, tells you to hold on tight without wavering. What's he saying? There's going to be opportunities to waver. What's waver mean? Back off that confession. What are you talking about? Obstacles. Hindrances, right? Here you are. You hear healing. You believe for healing. You walk out, and all of a sudden, you come down with something doctors can't explain, right? Out of nowhere, stuff hits you. Well, what's that trying to do? Jar that confession of healing out of your mouth. To get you to what? Well, I guess this doesn't work, or I'm so sick. To sit around and believe for your thinking you're getting to get your healing and you're not saying something, you're wrong. You're believing for finances, you know, you need a certain, and then all of a sudden your vehicle breaks down. It's like you're going backwards. Well, what's that trying to do? Knock that confession out of your mouth. I always like it this way to a football team, you know, or even you could think of rugby. You ever watched rugby, how rough that sport is? They grab that ball and they run and try to get to the goal, and they're trying to knock that ball out of them, trying to knock them out. And it's, well, same way the football player trying to get into the end zone. You know, the end zone is the manifestation. You got to carry that ball across the end zone to get that touchdown to score for your team, make the big bucks, right? Well, the problem is there's people right there trying to jar that ball out of your hands. You watch those football players punching at that ball and guys with humongous muscles just trying to rip that ball out of their hands. Twist those guys any which way to get that ball out of their hands. Well, what happens if they can hold on to it? If they don't waver and they can hold on and get across that goal line, they get their manifestation. And you know why so many people don't walk into their manifestation? Because along the way there came hindrances and they abort it. They start out with a ball of fire, but then they abort mission because the wind and the waves got too loud. See, the children of Israel are excited. We're pumped. Yay, God is good. His nose can blow a sea apart. But what happens? Why wasn't that... What happened? The hindrances came and knocked that confession out of their mouth. You don't think God's nose could blow the walls down that you're worried about? You don't think that God's nose could blow those giants out of the water? What happened? They got the confession knocked out of them. Yeah. Instead of getting the snot knocked out of you, you get the confession knocked out of you. And that's why I said, hold on to it. Why? Now you understand why you can't let it go. Because there's a high priest walking in with our words, saying, this needs to be done. And people say, I heard Pastor Nancy Dufresne say this once, it was just so good. She said, how often do you confess it? She said, well, I like to take a cue from the Father. And he said, my mercies are new every morning. He said, well, if the mercies are new every morning, don't you think we ought to be confessing something every single day as well? Yeah. And what's interesting is God never told you when to stop saying it. He's told you to say it. Say it till you have it. Then you don't have to say it anymore. Say it till you have it. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Next week, we're going to look at, in line with this, about what our words can do to change situations and circumstances. Don't have to beg for it. Don't have to cry, moan, and groan, and pray all night, get the prayer. No, your words can change things. Amen? Father, thank you for the word this morning. We're just so grateful. Thank you, Jesus. You're a faithful high priest. I'm sorry for when I've been unfaithful. cause you to go in there empty-handed, nothing on my behalf, because not saying things or speaking doubt and unbelief, you certainly can't bring that in the presence of the Father. I think we all probably have some repenting to do, all have some tweaking to do, some adjusting to do in our lives, and let's just make that adjustment. He's not mad at us. His mercies are new. He's saying, come on, get on the same train today. Get on the right path today. Praise God. Father, we're just so thankful. Let's worship Him together. Worship Him. He's faithful. Remember, the Bible said He is faithful that promised. You just keep saying it, He'll do His part. Real quick, open your eyes real quick. 2 years. Can't sleep, can't eat. Didn't get two hours of sleep. Went on a 9-day fast, a 16-day fast, several 3- and 4-day fasts because food turned into hell for me. In fact, it was torturous because food would cause my pain to go away for about a few hours. And then when it digested my bloodstream, the food, it would cause things to flare up and pain. They said, we don't have an explanation for this. There's no medicine for this. And I was bowed over, and I'm talking pain level pain from a 7 to a 10 on the scale almost all the time. And the only time I got more than 2 hours of sleep in 2 years was when I loaded up on Benadryl. That stuff knocks me out. And I couldn't take it anymore. I need to sleep. And I'd sleep and I'd wake up in the pain. And I went through that for two years. And I'll tell you, there's some discouraging times in that. Don't misunderstand me. And there's some times, Father, I'm sorry for that. You know, you complain or get mad and just, you know, your body's broken down. You're not able to eat. You're not able to sleep. You know, you go 16 days. You go 16-day fast and don't change anything in your lifestyle, you're going to be broke down. I'm still pastoring 2 churches and running 2 midweek services. Didn't change anything. Just wasn't eating. And I got worked over pretty good, and I had to start eating again. Pain just flared back up as bad as it ever was, you know. But that whole time, I'm here to tell you, there were some dark times, and I'm not going to lie, sometimes I had to get back on and say, I'm sorry, forgive me for that. But never one time in that did I ever think I wasn't going to be healed. You want to know why? Because the Bible says, if I'll hold fast to it, He's faithful to do what I'm saying. And I knew, healing has to come. He's not a liar. If I don't get my healing, I'm going to have to take it up with Him in heaven. Because He would have lied to me. And I stayed with that confession. I don't care how bad the pain was. I'd say the power of God's working in me. I am healed of my wounds. He restores health to me, and I am healed of my wounds. Something was wounded in my body. My wounds are healed in Jesus' name. A year into it, I even got more bolder and started preaching my testimony. A year before it was even ever showed up on the scene, I was preaching and rejoicing on a walk with my dog almost on a daily basis. I would confess it daily, but I wouldn't preach it daily, but I got to where I was preaching a lot the last year, and I'd preach my testimony as an act of faith, saying, someday this is actually going to be in front of people, and I'm going to stand there healed. But why? I kept at it because He said, if I'll hold fast, He is faithful to do it. The only reason it can't come to pass is when you stop saying it. You gotta stick with it. How many times have we dropped the ball along the way because time and circumstances change? You can't do that. Pick it back up. Pick it back up. Father, thank You for that. Thank You for that, Father. It works. The Word works. What do you think I was doing for 2 years down $2,000 a month every day? Father, I thank You for a full-time salary. Father, I thank You for all my needs are met. Father, I thank You my debts are paid off. Every day, every day, every day, confessing and going after it. Glory to God. Thank You, Father, for our help. It's got to be in our mouth. That's how the greatest promise ever came to us, was through our mouth. It's how every other promise is going to come to us, through the believing and speaking. So, Father, I pray that people would have this branded in their spirit. And, Father, that people would do what the Word says to do. This is one of the greatest works a Christian can have, by working the Word. And good ground people, we just got done talking about good ground last time we met after that series. Good ground people do what the Word says. That means we got to get a confession in our mouth. We better start having a confession list. If you don't have a confession list, you must not want anything or must not need anything in life. So I thank You, Father, for changes today. We're going forward different. We're going to see different things. Now, Father, I know that everybody in here has confessed Jesus as their Lord and Savior, but if by chance somebody watching online now or in the future has never received Jesus, I pray that they would not pass from this life till they make Jesus the Lord of their life. And if you're watching and listening, let me tell you, it's easy. It's simple. It's not about how much church you've been to, how little church you've been to, how good you've been, how bad you've been. It's about Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through Me. Jesus is your way in. He's the only way in. And the Bible says if you'll believe on Him, Romans 10 and verse 9 is your outline. If you'll confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart, that God raised him from the dead. If you believe in Jesus, the next step is open your mouth and say, Jesus, come into my life. I believe on you. I believe you died and rose again. If you'll pray that and mean that, he'll do his part. He'll save you, become a child of God. Send me an email. Give me a phone call. We'll get you hooked up and going in the right direction. Hallelujah. Praise his holy name. Yeah, let's just stand up and praise him like we mean it. Praise God. Praise God. Your mercy endures forever. We love you and praise you. We glorify you. If you need prayer after service, you come forward. We'll agree with you. Lay hands on you. Hallelujah. Don't forget to put your offering in. But Father, we love you so much. We thank you for where we're headed and for the changes that have come to us here today. In Jesus' name, everybody said, love you, appreciate you. We'll see you next Sunday. You're dismissed.